Reconnect and heal today. Welcome to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Welcome to Love Never Dies Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm so happy to be with you again today. So I have a question for you. Do you know when you think about charge, what we're talking about? I'm not talking about charging with a credit card. I'm talking about a different kind of charge, an energetic charge. It could be excitement, fear, sexual arousal, even anger. But what most of us don't know is how to use our emotional charge to enhance our vitality, become more effective, and open to spiritual experiences. Charge is a word for the basic life force running through you, you know, and mastering this energy is crucial if you want to meet the challenges of difficult situations, heal past wounds and traumas, and manage the stress of modern day life. And even more, it's essential for understanding how to manage your own life force and become all you can be. So I want to introduce you to a very wonderful, wonderful person. Her name is Dr. Anadeya Judith, and she's been called a prophet of our time. She's a groundbreaking thought leader who's the founder and director of Sacred Centers, and she's a writer, a therapist, and a spiritual teacher. And her passion for the realization of human potential matches her concern for humanity's impending crises. Her fervent wish is that we wake up in time. She holds master's and doctoral degrees in psychology and human health and is a 500-hour registered yoga teacher with lifelong studies of psychology, mythology, sociology, history, systems theory, and mystic spirituality. She's considered one of the country's foremost experts on the combination of chakras and therapeutic issues and on the interpretation of the chakra system for the Western lifestyle. She teaches across the United States as well as in Canada, Europe, Ireland, Asia, and South and Central America. She's best known for the chakra classic Wheels of Life, a user's guide to the chakra system, and over 200,000 copies have been sold in English and additional printings in 25 languages. Her second book was co-authored with Celine Vega, The Sevenfold Journey, Reclaiming Mind, Body, and Spirit Through the Chakras. And, you know, I could go on and on for hours describing all the accomplishments of this amazing woman, but I think I'd rather just have you meet her and discover her brilliance and what she has to bring the world. So are you with me, Anadeya?
Oh, I certainly am, Jamie. What a beautiful introduction. Thank you.
So nice to have you. So nice. So, you know, it's funny how, you know, when you think about charge, people don't make that connection right away. We're not talking about charge cards, you know?
Exactly.
And this is such an important topic because, you know, in a way, I can see where our work has dovetailed to a great extent because, you know, I focused on the charge of negative emotion, anger, and how people don't manage the anger properly and act it out and say and do destructive things, you know, and do great damage to their relationships and then themselves. So I love the work that you're doing, and I want you to talk more so that, you know, I think everyone would love to hear how you even became focused in this way. What brought you to the realization we've got to work on the charge?
Well, I've been, you know, working in somatic therapy, which is body-oriented therapeutic processes, and teaching yoga and the chakras for, you know, over 40 years on both those counts. And as I have worked with students and clients and also listened to their questions, I realized that the answers have to do with energy and the way we block energy. Now, let me just take a client, for example. Let's say I'm talking to them about, you know, something in their history or their ex-husband topic comes up or something.
Right.
Immediately, a charge will be released in their body or will come up in their body, and you can see it. Sometimes the voice gets small and tight, and
yep,
you can hardly get a breath, or sometimes it gets really loud and fast. Sometimes, you know, there's peripheral movements in the hands, there's shaking in the legs, the lips will quiver. That's charge. And most people don't recognize it. It's like fish don't know they're in water, or we don't really think about the air that we breathe. The charge is vital to everything we do and feel. And we can take our story about the emotions, but really what's going on is there's a movement of that charge in the body that is trying to get free that we are unconsciously blocking. So part of my work is to help people become conscious of that and have techniques to release the way we block it so that charge can have a free flow through the body and bring us greater aliveness and awareness.
That is such a brilliant description. I don't think I've ever heard anybody express an idea, a concept, as well as you just did.
Oh, well, thank you.
That was really clear. And, you know, when I'm working with patients, I can always tell, obviously, this issue is not resolved because of the degree of the charge.
Exactly.
Around it.
Exactly. When someone is talking about something, and I just did this with someone yesterday who was saying, you know, I think I have a little PTSD still from my former marriage 20 years ago, you know. I don't know if I still have it or not. And I said, well, do you feel the charge when you talk about
it? Yes.
And he says, yeah, I do. And I said, well, then that means there's still some work there.
Exactly. And you know it's resolved when you can talk about the topic and you feel neutral about it. You know, there isn't all this intensity.
Exactly. Now, it's not that charge is a bad thing.
No.
Charge is basically neutral. But when it comes through your system, you might label it as good or bad.
That's
but
right.
It's just energy. And you might say, oh, this fear is the negative charge. I need to get rid of it.
No.
But I like to talk about harvesting the charge, which means it's neither good nor bad, and you don't have to repress it, and you don't have to get rid of it, but you can harvest it into the cells and tissues of your body.
That is beautiful, too. You and I are very much on the same page. I'll say, you know, when people have this kind of judgment, you know, especially around anger and that kind of charge, this is bad, this is horrible, and I always say, well, think of this emotional charge as the wind. You know, you don't say, well, the west wind's good and the east wind's bad, the north wind. You know, it just is a charge. It's an energy. It's not bad or good.
That's right. That's right. It's your aliveness. I like to reframe it as I say, mm-hmm. Well, that's your aliveness.
That's right.
You know, in fact, I use the word charge, you know, it's the same word for prana or chi or Freud.
Yep.
Libido, or Star Wars calls it the force. I use the word charge because everybody can relate to it, but I also like to work with acronyms. Consciousness having a really genuine experience, CHA.
So marvelous.
When someone has a charge up, they're really feeling something. They're having a genuine experience. You don't have to ask them in that moment, are you alive? Are you feeling something?
That's right. It's so true. And this is your consciousness bringing to your awareness, wow, there's a lot here that is very important and significant to me that I want to work through.
Exactly.
That I need to work through. Exactly. Yeah.
It's a gift.
Yeah. It is a gift. It's a gift. And I can feel in your voice that, you know, all the work that you've done in training, in the yoga, that you really are practicing a kind of benign acceptance of everything.
I try. I have my kids, but I try.
Yeah. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You know, I always say it's really, really easy to be loving when the person that you love hasn't infuriated you.
Yes.
Right? But, you know, I mean, I call this our love lab, right? We're here to really perfect our ability to love ourselves and others. And that's really easy in a moment where you haven't gotten in my face and really provoked me and activated some of what I call the old scars, the earlier traumas. And, you know, when you have an intense reaction, to me, one of the things we're not aware of is how often we will get really triggered by a benign thing that's said or done, not realizing that the charge is being intensified by our associations to previous and similar traumas. So I call that the emotional lake effect. So my mind is dipping into the reservoir of my unconscious, and you know, like the real lake effect blizzard, when a storm crosses the Great Lakes and it dips into the water and picks up force as it crosses the water and makes the storm so much worse when it hits the leeward shores of the lake. Our psyches are always doing this, dipping into the reservoir of our memory bank, comparing present-day events with past traumas, and then we now have an additional charge without even realizing it, because I am emotionally remembering and reacting to all similar past events, and I don't even know I'm making that association.
That's so true, and it's such a beautiful analogy. And when that happens, again, it's a gift. So let's say you're in a relationship and your partner says something that triggers you. And all of a sudden you've got charge going through your body. You're hurt or you're angry or you're scared or you're upset. And of course, this happens all the time in relationship, right? And people pick the perfect person that's going to trigger them. If you can, you know, stop making your partner wrong for doing that and say, oh, I've got charge in my body. In fact, I have a chapter on this in the book on how charge works in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, oh, I feel some charge coming up when you say that. Let me sit with this a moment and see what message it has for me, what it might be connected to from my past. Oh, yeah, you remind me of my father when he criticized me.
That's
or you
great.
Remind
yep.
me of my mother when she wasn't available. Or so that would never listen to me. And it's a chance to heal that.
Yes. Exactly. You are like, I'm getting chills, because in so many ways, it's amazing we're only meeting now, because we are very much like sisters on this path in the work we're doing and in the message that we're bringing. And it's so fascinating how we're just meeting now. It's the right time, because everything you say is so correct, and I agree with it so much. And what you're describing here, you know, I talk about this in my books too, that you have to be willing to take a moment to pause and examine the charge and make that link up. Oh, you're reminding me of my mom or my dad. And that impulse control is so important, because so often people don't exercise the impulse control, and I just blurt out, you know, I just let that raw emotion, that charge just dissipate, and I take a dump on the other person, essentially. And I feel temporarily better, but there's no resolution of the underlying issue that's causing the charge.
Exactly. And it's hardest to do that when you're in the moment. I mean, it is
yes.
a spiritual practice to stop, because the natural inclination is, and it depends on the person, is either to suppress it, to lock
yes.
them. Like I used to think when I was with someone that triggered me a lot, oh, you know, I wouldn't blurt out, but I would shut down. And I'd say, well, I'm not getting charged. But I was. I was
yes.
controlled and removed, and I would shut it down in my body. So some people will repress it and shut down, and other people will try to discharge it and dump it on somebody.
Yes, it depends on the way you handle your anger, what is your particular character bent. And I'm sure you've noticed when you work with patients that depending on how early the charge is, for example, if you're being reminded of a really young, pre-verbal trauma, you're going to be more likely to shut down and not talk, because when you had the original trauma, you didn't really have language. So, I mean, this happened to me last night in a group I was running online. I saw this client of mine. She looked tearful, but she had no words, because somebody in the group, another member, reminded her of her mother, and it felt to her like a dream was being stolen. She was excited. She fell in love, and this person was cautioning her, and she was crushed, like this group member who said, be careful, was her mom stealing her dream. But she couldn't even speak, because she was so in a regressed state and as tongue-tied and speechless as she had been when she was a little girl.
Yeah, and that can happen, because many of our earliest memories are pre-verbal.
Yes.
Memory, you know, we think in terms of the words, and if we can't describe it, we don't access it. But that means that the body is holding it.
Yes.
So there's always a body component, even if we can't explain the feeling or remember the incident. And sometimes it's something from our past that we don't remember what it's connected to. We don't always know. But there is always a correlate in the body.
And you know what I love, too, about the notion of freeing this charge. And it's, and you're not talking just about, like, you know, the old cathartic methods, you know, like EFT, where people would scream and punch, you know, a pillow or hit something with a bat. That kind of release, we now know, as you know, based on the research, that doesn't really resolve the charge. It's just like taking a poop. Well, you release for the moment, it builds up again. The real resolution is more of a working through.
Exactly. You know, in my training in bioenergetics 40 years ago, when it was quite young, and everyone was very repressed, and they had us all on the floor, you know, 30
years
doing deep holotropic breathing on mats, and everybody was screaming and pounding.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the time, they thought, oh, we're doing very good work because everybody's getting it out.
Right.
And that's because, you know, the movement was very young then. And since then, we've gotten much more nuanced. And that big discharges are not always beneficial. And that's especially true when there's trauma.
Definitely. Because you can actually re-traumatize or put salt on the wound, drive the trauma deeper. Yeah.
You can. And the person can go into the original overwhelm of the trauma. And
yes.
It's got. It's getting a groove deeper, like when you...
That's exactly it. You literally, like a tire rut, you make a deeper groove in your brain. Yeah.
Yeah. So I used to have clients that would come in and want to cry through the whole session time after time.
Yeah.
And that's a groove that I wanted to interrupt. Maybe take the tears and helplessness into anger and power, if that was where they weren't going, or to take it in a new direction. So just getting it out, I mean, that's good for some people who have been very repressed and they've been it all their lives, but it's not automatically good for everyone.
Yes, you're a very skilled clinician. That's obvious. So let's talk about, let's say, because you know, you're working in the way that I'm working too around trauma. You know, I don't want you to re-traumatize or actually relive and drive that trauma groove deeper into your brain. So when somebody has a charge and you don't want that person to relive and re-injure and re-traumatize him or herself, what do you do instead, Anadea?
Well, I first of all take it into body sensations.
Okay.
Away from the story of what happened, which, you know, indeed is probably horrible, but into the body sensations, because the body at the time of trauma, you know, what happens to the body when it's challenged or insulted is that the charge arises, big time, so that the person can take care of themselves, largely go into fight or flight. They can run away or they can fight somebody off, and that's a biological reaction. And what happens in trauma is they can't spend that charge at the time in running away or fighting. Maybe it's a little child who's getting hit by their father and they're too little to fight, you know, their father, and they know that if they run away, there's no place to run to. So they have to override that huge charge and it gets frozen in the body.
Yeah.
So in trauma, that charge has to be released, but it has to be released very slowly. It's like a pressure cooker. When the pressure in a pressure cooker is high, you don't just take the lid off. You have a little valve, and you release a little bit of steam, and a little bit of steam, and a little bit of steam.
You are so amazing. It's like this description you're using. It's so wild, the analogies you're using, because I was always using the analogy of the radiator. You don't want to... You have to bleed that steam gradually. It's just, and you have the image of the pressure cooker. It's amazing, isn't it, how it's a very similar image, right?
Yeah.
So
I
really
can feel the same, that you really understand what I'm talking about.
Oh, boy, do I. Yeah. Yes. So, yes, because if you don't bleed the radiator, drain the steam gradually, it's a trauma. It's a re-injury. Yeah.
That's right. And that's even if people are not trained in working with trauma, if they know that one thing, that's helpful. You know, don't go for the jugular and say, let's get all of this out right now. You know,
yes.
Do a little bit and then restabilize. And another yes. analogy I use, it's sort of like trying to lose a bunch of weight. You know, if you go on a fast for 30 days and try to lose it all at once, you're likely to gain it back. But if you lose a couple pounds and then stabilize at that weight and then lose a couple more pounds and stabilize, you're more likely to keep it off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you're helping to release the charge and resolve the trauma, do you do physical somatic techniques? Are you doing breathing? Are you doing tapping? Is it talking? Is it a combination?
It's the combination of all of those, but mostly I'm doing physical techniques in conjunction with, you know, that person's material, for example. Like a very common technique when someone is overcharged, and they're overcharged to the point of being uncomfortable and anxious, I'll have them just push into my palms, and I give them some resistance so they have to push hard. And that is a way of discharging some of that energy so that they can come down into what I call a more comfortable place, into their comfort zone.
It's interesting. It's like you're literally giving them a way to push back.
Yes, exactly. And if it was, for instance, someone that they could never say no to or stop or go away, then, and I know that is part of their material, I might have them push into my hands and say, go away. Get back. And then I'm working with the material a little bit. If somebody's
That's
really
great.
Stuck, I use tapping. But tapping, in my opinion, is very effective. But the downside of it is it gets rid of the charge when, and you don't get to harvest it.
I agree. Speaking of harvesting, we've got to harvest a couple of commercials right now.
Okay.
We're going to be back in a moment on Love Never Dies Radio.
There are many paths to alleviate suffering, but compassion and connection are always essential parts of the process. October 26th to 28th, Omega Institute presents the Compassion in Connection Conference. Join top leaders in the field of compassionate education and learn about 5 empirically supported compassion training programs. To receive 20% off, use discount code DREAM when you register for the Compassion in Connection Conference at Omega in Rhinebeck, New York. Learn more at eomega.org.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For 40 years, Omega has been a gathering place for great thinkers, creative talent, spiritual teachers, and social visionaries. With 390 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Have you seen 1111? Do you wonder why certain numbers keep showing up in your life? 11, 111, 22, 33, 444. People all over the world are seeing 1111 and learning the language of universal communication. Subscribe to 1111 Magazine today, 1111mag.com. 1111 Magazine is a bi-monthly online publication that offers a rich multi-sensory experience. Engage with experts and topics of consciousness. Become enlightened, empowered, and energized so you live a passionate and authentic life of conscious choices. 1111 Magazine, a daily staple for lifting the mindset, expanding the heart, and experiencing greater aliveness. 1111 Magazine. Order now at www.1111mag.com. 1111mag.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you yearn to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even coworkers, Dr. Turndorf's book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about Kiss Your Fights Goodbye at AskDrLove.com. This is Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener. Once again, here's Dr. Turndorf.
Welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm talking with the brilliant thought leader, the prophet of our time, Anadea Judith, Dr. Anadea Judith. So we're talking about before the break, we were talking about you want to harvest the charge. You don't want to dissipate it.
That's right. If charge is golden, you know, it's like money. You know, you don't want to just lock it up in an account that's frozen where you can't get, you know, you can't access it when you need it. And you don't want to spend it foolishly. You know, if you want to conserve some of it and let it build. So the charge is our life force. We become more alive. Now, the reason people can't harvest it is they learned a long time ago to block it. You know, maybe a child was said, you're too noisy, you're too much, you wiggle too much, you think too much of yourself, tone it down, hold it in. And in some ways, just going to school in the first grade where we have to learn to sit still and be quiet and make tiny little movements with a pencil is not natural to our biological bodies. So even if you came from a healthy home, just the act of being enculturated into our society through the school system makes us sit on our charge, right? We get body armor that habitually and unconsciously is blocking the charge. So when the charge comes up, the block immediately happens, but it's unconscious. And that block may be holding the breath, it may be constricting the throat, it may be a knot in your stomach, it may be your legs tighten up. It can be all sorts of little unconscious movements. And that's why we can't have the charge, because it's pushing up against the block. Now, when charge pushes up against a block, in that moment, it's very uncomfortable because there's a fight between the charge wanting to get free and the block wanting to hold on. And so I say
cross wires.
Cross wires, exactly, cross purposes. And, of course, everybody wants their blocks to be freed. That's what the conscious mind wants. But the unconscious mind is quite afraid of that. And that's why you have to move slowly and release it slowly. So the body's habitual response can start to change its neurological pathways and create new pathways.
Absolutely. Now, the fear. You know, I like to talk about why people are so afraid of, you know, obviously love can be frightening, but anger is a particularly terrifying emotional charge. Do you want to talk a little bit about why that's so frightening for people?
Yeah, and you know, different emotions are frightening for people, and anger can be frightening for the person feeling it or the person receiving it, you know, somebody else. It can be very scary to have somebody dump their toxic anger on you. And this is especially true for a child who is in a small little, you know, 4 or 5 year old body, for example, receiving the full charge of an adult's anger. That's overwhelming to the body. So, so that fear can come up, and fear makes us constrict, right? And so many children were told not to be angry, you know, and many children had plenty to be angry about. There was plenty of things going on in their family that were not okay or were not healthy, but the child was told not to. So when that anger comes up, it can be very frightening because maybe they got angry and they were severely punished, you know, and that's there in their cellular memory. And then when it comes time to just stand up for their boundaries in an adult situation in a healthy way, that same fear comes up. Oh, my God, I'm going to get rejected or I'm going to get punished. And, again, we want to feel the charge of the anger because the anger is very energizing and not have to get rid of it. Like, if I feel angry, I go, great, I'm going to do some house cleaning. You know, it's a great way to use that. I'm going to go work out and take my anger into my workout where I'm not suppressing it and I'm not hurting anybody with it. But the strength of an emotion is equal to the strength of its charge. So in anger, a small charge might be irritation. And a larger charge might be annoyance or even some anger. And then more charge would be, you know, rage, right? And so the degree of danger has to do with the degree of charge. Irritation mm-hmm. is not very dangerous. You know, irritation is sort of like a message, right? Rage can be very dangerous because someone is discharging and their conscious mind is kind of disconnected while they're doing it. So if we can bring the charge level down, someone can go to their anger and deal with it effectively without hurting themselves or someone else. But you've got to bring the charge level down. So it's sort of like disabling the dynamite so then you can deal with the situation.
Right, right, right. You know, I always like to bring into this conversation the way the young brain is wired with the magical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is universal, as you know. When you're little, you don't make a distinction between thoughts, feelings, and outcomes. So mm-hmm. if you really feel so angry at a parent, and of course you're dependent on your parent, the terror is if I even allow myself to admit that I'm angry, my thought, my feeling will kill my parent. I have to swallow it because I need my parent for survival. And that yes. magical thinking doesn't go away for most people. Like, for example, I had a patient when she was a little girl. Her grandpa had cancer and he was in the hospital and she went to visit him and she thought he smelled funny. I wish he would die. And that night he did. Mm-hmm. And she had a breakdown. She believed that her thought, her wish made it happen. Now, mm-hmm. she ended up in a mental hospital as a little girl from this breakdown. Years later, she's married, she has two kids and a dog, and she's out one night at a play rehearsal. She comes home and finds her house has burned down, and her dog and her daughter perished in the fire, and she snapped. It was, once again, that magical thinking, it's my fault. You know, I was out. It was my fault. And, of course, she probably had, as anyone would have, negative feelings toward her daughter. We have negative feelings toward the people we love. And so I met her in the psychiatric hospital. But there you have it, right? That magical thinking. I did it again. You know, my anger, my negative feelings were enough to make it happen.
Then you're afraid of your own thoughts.
Yes.
You're afraid of your own self. Yeah, I had a client similarly. At 10 years old, she had a fight with her mother and said, I wish you'd just die.
Yep.
She burned out of the room. And that night, her mother fell asleep in a chair with a cigarette, and the house burned, and her mother died.
Yes. Yes.
And she dealt with that her whole life.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very interesting. I had a patient the same thing, and she... her mom fell down the stairs. So, you know, and it's, I did it. My thoughts made it happen. And, and then, of course, kids' brains are, I'm the center of the universe. So everything that happens is because of me. The narcissism of childhood is because of me. It's about me. You know, if you get divorced, it's my fault. If you fall down the stairs, it's because of me. I'm the center of the universe. And so this really shapes how the brain reacts to events mm-hmm. and how we get so... unwilling to own certain feelings and how we get a buildup of this charge. So I can feel the empathy that you have for people. You know, when I was telling, I mean, it's just beautiful.
Absolutely, Yeah, children will often feel a divorce is their fault, or they feel they have to take care of the parent that if mommy's depressed, it's something I did or because she didn't really want me, rather than realizing, you know, they don't have the maturity to realize that mommy's depressed because, you know, of other circumstances and mommy's history.
Right, right, right. You know, it's funny, too. I never thought we would talk about this, but there's this whole issue of picking up, like through emotional contagion or energetic contagion, picking up a parent's energetic charge. For example, I had a patient, a little boy, come to see me many years ago. He was terrified of germs, tremendous emotional charge. And I sent him out, and I asked the mom to come in, and I said, you know that he's terrified of disease. And she said, oh, my gosh. She said, I am a total germ phobic, and I swear to you, I hide this from everyone. I've never told anyone. I don't do excessive cleaning or hand washing. But he must have picked it up energetically. So I bet you work with that, too, right? The charges that we pick up from others during our deformative years, huh?
Yeah, deformative. Yeah, that's true. I see that a lot in descendants of Holocaust survivors.
Yes.
And sometimes the family, the children or the grandchildren or whatever, the grandparents, I mean, they might never even talk about that they escaped from Nazi Germany, or, you know, they might have just, you know, put it behind them and never talked about it with the family. But that fear, it's kind of an intergenerational trauma. And the children pick it up, even though it's never discussed.
Absolutely. So how do you work with that, Anna Dea?
Well, you know, in any trauma, it doesn't really matter whether you remember the traumatic incident. I've worked with birth trauma. And someone, you know, maybe they found out through a story that they were born and put in an incubator or something, but they don't remember that. The body does. And so the way I work with it is through the body. When the body can release the charge, then the issue becomes resolved. I mean, I have a saying that charge is the glue of a complex. And we all know about psychological complexes, right? You know, people are familiar with having an inferiority complex or something. That's just a simple example. But, you know, Freud and Jung talked about complexes. To me, a complex is a fusion of a memory or several memories, an emotion, a thought, and a behavior, right? So you remember being left out. That happened a lot. You have a thought. Nobody wants me. You have an emotion about that of sadness, and you have a behavior of isolation. You know, that's just an example. But what fuses these components together is charge. And, you know, most psychologists know that just understanding a complex doesn't change it. They could say, oh, yeah, my brother picked on me, and my father was away all the time, and blah, 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 but it hasn't changed. That's because the charge hasn't been released. So when the charge is released, it's like the glue is taken out that fuses those components together, and then the components can reassociate in a different nature, in a more positive framework. You know, so for example, if someone had a rejecting mother, and I say to them, well, just imagine your mother was there meeting you when you came home from school with milk and cookies and she wanted to see your drawing. If they haven't released the charge of that, that fantasy or that, you know, reprogramming will not stick. It just won't stick. They'll just say, well, that didn't happen. But if they are able to release the emotional charge, cry about the grief, whatever it is, once that charge is gone, the glue is gone, then the thoughts and memories and behaviors can actually be reprogrammed. And then you can bring in fresh charge to fuse together the positive associations.
Let's take a break so that I can discharge my obligation to do that commercial announcement. I'll be back in a moment on Love Never Dies Radio.
Thank you.
Can you imagine fully trusting your intuition, no longer doubting yourself, and always listening to your gut? Join psychic medium Laura Lynn Jackson at Omega, October 26th to 28th, for Intuition Ignited, a women's immersion workshop. Learn to activate your intuition and psychic abilities and awaken the natural healer, leader, and wise woman within you. For 20% off, mention discount code DREAM when you register for Intuition Ignited at Omega in Rhinebeck, New York. Learn more at eomega.org.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Stroll through the garden, relax by the lake, or try a daily yoga or movement class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roy DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
You're listening to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you can't stop crying over the bodily loss of a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's number 1 international bestseller, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, will show you how to toss out the tissues and transform your grief into joy using her groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and even heal unfinished business with those in spirit without the assistance of a medium, channeler, or psychic. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift, a free excerpt of Love Never Dies. And now, back to Love Never Dies with Dr. Jamie Turndorf.
Welcome back to Love Never Dies Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf. I'm talking with the amazing thought leader, Anadeya Judith. So we're talking about restructuring the psyche, you know, so that you're basically changing the neuroassociations around a charged topic. And so do you do that through also through talking? Because now we're kind of reframing how someone thinks about a traumatizing topic. So once you've discharged the physical charge, then you do a talking and a working through
in
words.
It's partly talk, but it's also involving the body. You know, I studied trauma with Peter Levine, and he called it renegotiating the trauma.
I love it.
You know, after the charge is discharged, I can say, you know, so now imagine that you put a lock on your door and your father can't come in to yell at you. Or now imagine, like I say, that your mother meets you with milk and cookies. Or now imagine, and, you know, if they can't, then they haven't discharged the original thing enough. They haven't discharged the original trauma. Once that's discharged, then I'll bring in a new body shape. I'll bring in some breath. I'll bring in maybe some touch, you know. Now imagine that someone is, you know, there's a hand on your back and there's somebody at your back. So you're actually, or maybe I might even use tapping. So you're really creating new neuronal pathways.
That's wonderful. So you're creating new pathways. You know, it's interesting because I don't know if you're familiar with the work that I've begun doing since my husband left his body from a bee sting.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. So for most of my life, I was working around, you know, the charge around anger and helping people work through the anger in a way that is constructive, you know, that is a lot of the old scars from childhood get played out again in the choice of partner and then the kinds of conflicts you have with your life partner. And so I developed a conflict resolution method where I would help people work through the trauma and then the anger dissipates, and using the primary relationship to make that healing. So you're really working together to heal each mm-hmm. other of these old traumas, and then the anger and the charge dissolve. So when my husband left his body, I discovered we don't die. He made his presence known so powerfully from the moment he left his body, and he asked me to tell our story. You know, that was my second Hay House book, Love Never Dies. So I tell our story, and he said, let our love shine like a torch that lights the path for others. So I started to develop this grief resolution method, which has become the transdimensional grief resolution method, where I show people how to reconnect with their loved ones in spirit. And because we all have unfinished business, we use the dialoguing with the departed technique to work through that unfinished business and heal the charge. Because, you know, as you know, Western grief therapy really doesn't give us much of a way of working through this unfinished business. So now I go all over the world and help people to heal using this, you know, transdimensional grief resolution method. And, you know, you were talking about ways of enabling someone to work through the charge. Well, in the dialogue, one of the things I'll do with people who have been emotionally, physically, or sexually molested by someone, we'll do like a spiritual supervised visitation where, you know, either I'll be there protecting them and giving them that feeling of security as they talk to the abuser, or sometimes we'll imagine them chaining the abuser to a chair while they talk to them, you know, to work it through.
I've had that imagery before with you know, sexual abuse survivors.
You do that. And it's so interesting, isn't it, how you and I have come to work with these issues, and we're very much on the same page. We really, it's amazing, really.
Yeah, I feel that too.
Yeah. So now you are going to be at Omega in Rhinebeck, right? And this, you've been there before. This isn't your first time.
Oh, no.
You go there all the time. You're going to be there the 26th through the 28th, and your workshop is Charge Up Your Chakras. So we haven't talked a lot about your groundbreaking work and the chakras and how chakras handle energy, and that's what you're going to focus on at Omega. So could we talk more about that so people start to get an idea of what you're going to be doing there?
Yeah, so you know, the chakras have been my work in this lifetime for which I'm best known. So there are techniques from bioenergetics and yoga, it's a combination of the two that I have my own particular blend, that actually generate charge in the body and move it through the body, and I can, you know, direct it into specific chakras. And chakras sometimes need to charge up, sometimes they need to discharge. And there's certain ways to do either one. And I take people through that. People will learn a lot about charge in general, about how it works in the body, about what I call the charge-discharge cycle, how charging and discharging need to be balanced in order to balance your chakras. So it's all this stuff that we've been talking about around charge as a concept, and it's put into the map of the chakras. So it's a weekend. We'll go through chakras 1, 2, and 3 on Saturday and chakras 4 to 7 on Sunday. And we will have different kinds of techniques for each one, some more yoga-based, some more bioenergetic-based.
Mm-hmm. And so will you be going, will they be partnering off and seeing if they can tune into where the chakras have blocked energy, or are you going to be working individually with each person and scanning the chakras? How's it going to go?
Well, some of the exercises is something you do alone on your mat, and then some of the exercises you do in partners. because I work a lot with resistance, like pushing into somebody's hands or pushing a part of your body against somebody's hands. Like I'll put a hand over the sternum and have somebody push their chest out. That's a great for relieving grief from the body if it's stuck. So people will be doing these exercises with each other, and the process through the weekend is that you actually get each chakra, you know, somewhat cleared so it can handle more energy, and people go out feeling really alive. But of course, as I go to the top chakras, we're starting to calm that down into a deep stillness and peace or meditation to experience the more transcendent states. So we're freeing up a lot of charge in the workshop.
Great. And it's going to be Friday night, right? Through?
Through Sunday. I guess they end Sunday at noon or something like that.
Great. And where do you go from there? I know you're going to be in Europe, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Europe actually before that. I'm teaching in London, Amsterdam, and the north of Holland, and then I'm going over to Barcelona. And then I come back for a few days, and then I fly east again, and I teach a chakra yoga teacher training at Kripalu, and then the weekend at Omega, and I come home for a few days. And then I'm teaching a five-day workshop on charge at 1440 in Santa Cruz, California.
So that's wonderful. And it must be, it's a little tiring to travel a lot and hit the road all the time.
It is. I've been doing it for 26 years. And, you know, in my old age, I'm starting to back off on the traveling and the live workshops. And I'm doing a lot online, too. I'll be teaching a workshop on charge online through the Shift Network in November and December. And that will just be information. You don't really get the exercises in the same way as the live workshop. So I think the live workshops is the way to have the experience. You know, it's not just information, it's an experience.
Right.
And, yeah, but I'll be cutting down on the traveling after a while.
When you said your old age, I don't think of you as old.
Well, you know, my spirit inside doesn't think of me as old either, but the body is kind of wearing down on it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, travel is hard and the time change and everything else. So you're going to be doing more online and less in person?
Yeah, so if people want to catch me in person, they should come now.
Because it's now or never. <That's
fun. laughs> Oh, what a beautiful voice you have.
Oh, I was trained as an opera singer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. So, and, you know, speaking of the voice, I was thinking about, you just made me think about the Gregorian chants and how the vibration helps to shift the energy and the charge in the body. Do you use some of the, you know, like vocalizing in your exercises?
I do. In the fifth chakra, we chant chakra sounds, both the Bija mantras and a set of vowel sounds that I work with that, you know, activate and release the chakras. Some sounds will charge up the chakra. They're for invigorating, and some are for releasing and clearing. And so we work with some of that. You can also work with pressing on different parts of the body and having a person make sound from that part of the body. So it's sort of, obviously, your legs are not going to make sound. It comes out of your mouth. But to feel your legs and go, if my legs could make a sound, what kind of sound would they make? Well, they probably wouldn't make, they'd probably make, you know? And so I have, you know, I'll touch different parts of the body and have somebody push against me and make a sound from that part of their body, and that releases a lot from the chakras, too.
So it sounds like also you're giving people a lot of techniques that they can use for their own healing and maintenance, you know?
Yes, and they can use it if they're a therapist, they can use it with clients.
So you have a lot of therapists that you're training as well?
I do. I have a whole certification program, and it has two tracks. One is a healer track and one is a teacher track. So a lot of people who are yoga teachers come in and they go through that because they want to teach the chakras in their yoga classes. And then the other is people who are practitioners of some, you know, type. They might be body workers, they might be psychotherapists, they might be chiropractors that want to work with this material, the charge and the chakras, in their work one-on-one with people or their work
groups.
Or
that's
even
wonderful.
Organizational development. We have some of those.
Great. So in the last 2 minutes, what would be the parting message that you would like everyone to leave with? And of course, also, we want everyone to know how to reach you and find you, how to find your workshop at Omega, how to find you online, all of that.
Well, I think we are here on this planet at this time to learn how to create heaven on earth. And that to do that, we need to connect heaven to earth. And that happens through the sacred core of each one of us that I call the Rainbow Bridge. That's where the chakras are. The Rainbow Bridge, mythically, was said to connect heaven and earth, and that, you know, if it were to break down, doomsday would ensue. Well, anybody who reads the news and what's happening with climate change and all can see that that's kind of coming to us, and it's my belief that restoring the Rainbow Bridge inside each person is the best way to avert doomsday as we become whole again. And that this charge is the connection to mind and body in the same way that the electricity or the charge in your cell phone connects your information to your hardware, right? So you can actually access, you know, a phone number or a video. So the charge is that connection. And when we can come into that, we have the means to connect heaven and earth through ourselves and therefore start to begin to connect it again in the world and heal our world. My real passion is how do we take this into the world, because we are in dire situation and we really need some profound healing in the world and our culture.
It's so true, and really quantum physics supports what you're saying. You correct your vibration, you correct your charge. It reverberates out like a pebble in the pond to heal the world and really create a vibration here on the earth plane that parallels the vibration of heaven. So what you're doing is so transformational. One person at a time, you're changing the world. And Adaya, it was really great having you on Love Never Dies Radio.
And Jamie, what a delightful interview with someone who really understands these things.
Really wonderful. I'm so glad we met. Stay on the line after we close so that I can say a personal goodbye to you. And everyone, I'll see you next time on Love Never Dies. Have a great week.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.